Pain and suffering are sad realities of life. How do we explain why innocent people suffer and evil seems to prosper in the world? The death of a child, the loss of a spouse, or a worldwide pandemic. In the midst of your pain, it's easy to feel abandoned or forsaken. Questioning if God truly cares for you, can help you, or is even there. In those dark times, it's challenging to understand where God is in all of it. Whether we feel it or not, God is always with us. Sometimes God carries us. He doesn't cause our pain, but He intends to bring meaning and purpose to it. Learning to see God's hand during our struggles, trusting Him, and obeying Him through those dark times will bring peace and comfort to our hearts. No matter what we face, God knows what is happening, and He cares.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here today. All of you who are joining us online, we're so grateful for you being here as well. Today is the 10th anniversary of our Missouri City campus. It is 10 years old. We're so proud of this campus. Yay God for Missouri City. We're so proud of this campus and what God has done, so grateful to the Lord for it. Began just with a couple of hundred people, and now it has grown to over 700 in average attendance, and it's just touched so many people's lives. 3 years ago, when the pandemic started, our Missouri City campus was averaging about 700. They're all the way back, and it is amazing what's going on that campus. So many people have come to know Christ as Savior. So many people's lives have been changed, families have been rescued, and it is just great seeing what God is doing at our Missouri City campus. So many leaders have emerged. We're so happy, so proud of what God is doing. Pastor Xavier Marilyn is the campus pastor at the Missouri City campus. He has been for 6 months, and he's doing an awesome, awesome job. Now, let me ask you something. If God, or let's share with you something, if God speaks to your heart about giving money over and above your tithe, maybe it's something that's happened and you want to give to something, let me tell you, the greatest need, just physically speaking, the greatest need that our church has is a new worship center at the Missouri City campus. It has a worship center, it's a fine worship center, but we have so maxed it out. And we are in such a need. There's space to be able to put a 700-seat worship center there, and it's desperate. And so if God touches your heart that you want to give over and above your tithe for something that God has laid on your heart, I hope that it will. You'll consider the Missouri City Worship Center, because we are in need of it. Now, our Missouri City campus has already raised itself $1.5 million, but it takes between $5 to $6 million to build a new worship center. So be praying for that, and be open if God touches your heart about that need. This morning, we are in a series entitled, Where is God in My Pain? And I want to begin with this statement. If you live long enough, you will suffer. I'm just filled with good news today, aren't I? If you live long enough, you'll get cancer, or diabetes, or arthritis, or have a heart attack, or all the above. If you live long enough, you will see someone that you deeply, deeply, deeply love leave. And you will lose them. And one day, someone who deeply, deeply loves you will watch you go. Because that's the way the universe is. There's no other alternatives. All of us will suffer. All of us will go through difficulty. All of us will one day come to the end of our lives. I'm just filled with joy, aren't I, today, and good news. But it is this life. D.A. Carson spoke such an incredible teaching about this whole subject of suffering and pain and difficulty and how God uses all of this in our life. And I would just recommend that you take a look. I put that in your notes. It is one of the greatest messages I've ever heard on this subject. I've listened to it 7 or 8 times. I still am blessed by it. And I want to encourage it that you take a look as well. I believe God will use it in your life. Why is it that good people suffer? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? Why are there injustices in the world? And where is God in my pain? Last week, as we began this series, the first thing we talked about is what God talks about so many times in His Word, His compassion, His love for us, His awareness of what we're going through, those times that we feel that deep darkness in our life. And yet, in those moments of darkness, as we talked last week, we have an ability to see some things we couldn't see any other way about our life. And all the while we're going through those dark days of our life, God wants us to be open to trusting Him, to leaning on Him, to let God use those moments in a positive way in your life and in mine. But this morning, I want to talk about the explanations. The why. God in His Word talks about in many kinds of situations the why that is happening in the midst of our pain. We can't cover all the things that He said, but we'll cover some. And so the why is so vitally important. And the very first thing He talks about is this simple idea that we need to face facts, that life is not fair. Life is not fair. The Bible is very transparent about this, very open, very honest about this issue. But the place in God's Word that I've thought was the most concise and helpful came out of the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, 3,000 years ago, wrote this book. And when he wrote this book, he identified 4 key statements that help us to grab hold of the whole idea that life is not fair. Notice what he says. First of all, innocent and powerless people are abused by others. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 1, again I looked and I saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors and they could have no comforter. You go back in history, we've got recorded history that goes back thousands of years, and you go back in those thousands of years, and in every generation, in every country, in every civilization, there was a continual flow of oppression against people. And the people would cry out, and there was no comforter. And this is what Solomon is saying 3,000 years ago. It is part of what happens in life. It is horrible. Life is not fair. Second, the political system is oftentimes unfair. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 8, if you see the miscarriage of justice anywhere throughout the land, don't be surprised. For every official is under orders from higher up, and the higher officials took theirs from their superior. So the matter is lost in red tape and bureaucracy. Can you believe he said that 3,000 years ago? Does this not sound like now? Amen. And notice the next verse in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 5 and 6. Here is an injustice I have seen, an injustice caused by rulers. Foolish people are given positions of authority. Do I hear an amen anywhere? Do we not see this? 3,000 years ago. And it's like he's reading our newspapers right now. The judicial system is sometimes unfair. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11. Why do people commit crimes? Because crime is not punished quickly enough. I'm now reading stories that in New York City and in San Francisco, there are some crimes that have just been declared, we're not going to deal with them. Petty theft, not dealing with anymore. If somebody steals your purse, if they steal your wallet, sometimes they, and we see the story, we actually see the video, sometimes they roll one of the carts in of a store, start filling up the carts, and run right back through the door without paying for it. And if you can get through all of this without being shot, and a few people have been shot, but if you can go through this without being shot and no police officers around, nobody's going to track you down in San Francisco and New York City. So don't get any ideas in Sugar Land, okay? In those, why? Because there is so much crime, they cannot handle the load. And they finally said, the lower things, there's nothing we can do. We don't have enough manpower to get this done. That's where we live. Fourth, the wrong people seem to succeed. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 14. There is something else. Righteous men and women who get what the wicked deserve. And wicked men and women who get what the righteous deserve. Life is not fair. And it is the exact idea of life is not fair that is the primary argument of atheists against Christianity. If you go in high school, depending on your situation, you go to high school or college, you're going to encounter the arguments, and this is the key argument that is used against the idea of the existence of God. And here is basically what you'll hear. If God is a good God, then he would not want anyone to suffer. If God was an all-powerful God, then he would have the power to stop the suffering. But suffering exists. So either God is not a good God or God is so weak, he can't stop it. And either way, he's not God at all. Well, that's a good argument. Let me just tell you something. Christianity's been around for 2,000 years. It's called apologetics, which doesn't mean to apologize. It means to give an answer to. And the answers that Christianity comes back against the objections are phenomenal. It is amazing how well Christianity can hold up against any of the objections, including this one. But the problem that happens is that our kids grow up, they go to college, they don't even know that these answers are there. So they hear these kinds of objections, they don't even know, they've never heard them before, they don't know what to do with them, and they think, well, maybe they're right, maybe it's just religion, and maybe I don't know what I believe. And sometimes adults do too, but let me just tell you, there are powerful, amazing, convincingly powerful answers to all of the objections, including this one. The answer to the objection that I just gave, first of all, is a misunderstanding of the word good. It says that if God is a good God, then he wouldn't want anybody to suffer. It's not that God wants people to suffer, it's that suffering does happen. And even in his goodness, he allows it because of the purpose that it accomplishes in the long run. If God has a purpose in suffering and sees that purpose to be of greater importance, then this statement by atheists is out the door. So what does God see as something good that comes from suffering? God is a good God and an all-powerful God. Not only can he stop suffering, he will stop suffering at the right time. That's what Revelation 21 verse 4 is saying when it says, God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Now, where this verse it comes from is at the end. There is this whole old order that we're still in. But there is a new order called heaven. The very moment that a person's spirit leaves their body and goes immediately to heaven, there is no more pain. There is no more mourning. There is no more death. There is no more suffering. Because in the new order, that is not needed for the purpose that it was used for in this existence. There are purposes for suffering in this present order. And those purposes are being used by God until this universe passes away. So what are these? Here's the idea. God gives us hope in the midst of our pain and suffering. The Bible says that God only allows injustice so that it may produce a greater good. That sometimes we will know what that is in this life, and other times we will not know in this life. We won't know until the next life. And that's what I want us to talk about the rest of the time. Now listen, the Bible doesn't answer every issue. At least I haven't found it. And when I get to heaven, I got some questions to ask. I've said that before, and I've had people come up to me afterwards and say, you get to heaven, you won't have any questions to ask God. All the answers will come flooding inside your brain, and now all your questions are answered. Well, I've never been to heaven yet. And the best I know, nobody else has either, that at least I've been around. So it's kind of a guess thing. And when I get to heaven and I find out I can have questions, I got some questions that I am going to ask. So what does the Bible say about pain and suffering? First, pain results from the abuse of our God-given freedom. The Bible says that we were created in the image of God. We were created in the image of God. Part of what that means is we are a free moral agent. We have the freedom to choose good or bad. We're not a robot. We're not a puppet on a string. We're not pre-programmed, and now all we can do is live out our pre-programming. That's not who we are. That's not what it means to be made in the image of God. To be made in the image of God partly means that we are a free moral agent. We have free will. There is no choice to do good unless there is also a choice to do evil. If all we can do is good, it means we've been pre-programmed. We're not free. We can't even help ourselves. We have to do good because we can't do anything else. But if God has given us freedom, which He has, He's given us the freedom to do good and to do evil. You know what? God could change it. Snap of a finger. Could change it all. Here's what He would do. He could say, I revoke your freedom of choice. Now, you can only do good. Oh, look at us. We're only doing good. But we're only doing good not because we've chosen to do that. We're doing good because we've been programmed. We're not free anymore. Without the freedom, to do wrong, when we do right, it's not out of choice. And that means that when we love, it's because we have to, not because we choose to. In that scenario, I love God, but it's not real love because it's pre-programming. Loving God is not true love unless you have the choice to not love. Does this make sense? Injustice happens because it is the downside of freedom. you and I suffer because of the wrong choices that others have made. And it doesn't just affect them, it affects us as well. And by the way, you and I have made wrong choices and we have wounded others. It's the downside of freedom. But I wouldn't want freedom to be taken away. I guarantee you that most of the negatives that happen in our lives, most of the sense of injustice that happens in our life, most of the sense of wound and hurt that happens in our life is in this issue. This issue. So yeah, God could take away evil, but in so doing it would totally alter our lives to the negative. The Bible also teaches us that pain has purpose. In James chapter, God can produce inner growth from our pain. He can produce inner growth. In James chapter 1, verse 2 to 5, it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Notice that he didn't say if, he says when. They're coming. Pain and heartache are coming. Injustice is coming. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Because God will give to all generously and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. So listen to what he's saying. You and I are going to go through hurt and hard times and injustices in our life. All of us are going to feel it in one way or another. But in doing it and responding correctly to it, God will use it to make us stronger than we would have ever been without it. He builds endurance in our life. He builds maturity in our life. He actually grows us in the midst of the pain and hurt and heartache that we experience. We always learn more through pain than we ever learn through pleasure. Now look, we can't have all pain. Thank you, but I could do without some pain. I do enjoy pleasure, but the problem is all pleasure and no pain makes a person immature. And this is why parents must allow their children as they're growing up to encounter age appropriate difficulties and struggles, because only by working that out little by little in their life and growing do they actually grow up. You find a person whose parents never let them experience pain and difficulty and hurt, and they will be grossly immature and not ready for life. Well, the same is true about all of us. How we grow up, how we become mature, how we develop in our lives requires pain and hurt. Now, I want to tell you, I don't like it. I don't like pain. Some of you would say, I eat pain for breakfast. Well, personally, I prefer eggs to pain. But what happens is when that pain is turned around and used by God to bless us and grow us, suddenly we begin to look at it with totally different eyes. And that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. In this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul comes to God and he has some problem, some difficulty he can't get past. And he goes to God and he asks God, would you take this out of my life? Would you remove this thorn in my flesh? And here was God's answer to Paul. He said no to Paul, but here is why he did it. Notice what God says. This is God talking. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, he's saying, Paul, you have no idea how strong, how powerful you could become if I said no to your request. You need this. This will be the moment that you see my power in you. by you stopping your whole attempt to fix all your problems by yourself and yielding to me, giving yourself over to me, you will see my power resident in you. So the answer is no, I will not remove this, because this is for your benefit. It is for your help. You will get stronger and wiser as a result. And notice what Paul then says. Now remember, he just prayed, oh God, please get rid of this. But then when Paul understood why the problem, why the pain, when he understood what God was doing, he said, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, my thorn in the flesh, my struggle, my pain, my hurt, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I now delight in my weaknesses. Boy, he was a better man than me. He went from hating it, wanting it to be gone, begging God to take it away, to now say, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul came to understand the reason, the why of pain. And it changed everything for him. There's a second thing. See, the first thing is, the first reason is to make us stronger, to make us better, to make us more obedient to God, to help us to be a stronger human being than we would be any other way. But the second reason, the second purpose of pain, is that God can bless others from our own pain. Notice what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that. See the word so that? It means why. Oh God, why? So that we can comfort others. When we are troubled, we'll be able to give. When they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God gave us. Do you realize all the ministries that exist today in the world, even all the nonprofit organizations that exist in the world today, have all come from pain, or the most part, have all come from pain? A person went through pain and hurt and struggle, and they struggled through it, and they cried out to God, and slowly but surely God began to heal them, and God began to touch their life and make them stronger. And then God began to whisper in their heart, now you can bless others, you can help others who are going through the exact same thing you went through, that I just helped you through. Now I'm asking you, would you dedicate your life to being a blessing to somebody else in this ministry? And a ministry arose, and God used it to touch the lives of who knows how many people. And what God is saying to us is, here's why. The reason for the pain is the stinking decisions other people made, the evil decisions other people made that now you are suffering from. And by the way, the terrible decisions you're making, and now you're suffering and other people are suffering. But God can take that and use it to make you stronger, to make you wiser, to make you more in love with him, make you deeper in your walk and your relationship with him. And God can use it to even bless and touch the lives of other people. Through the comfort that he gave to you, you can now give to someone else. It's not the only reasons, the only things that the Bible says about the wise, but these three things are really the three biggest. But now notice the fourth issue, and that is God provides a rescuer to ultimately save us from our pain. Both in the age to come, but also in the here and now. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says this, there is no one on earth who does what is right all the time and never sins, nobody. And in the New Testament, the same idea is given, but just in different words. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've sinned and I've sinned. And our sin caused us to be separated from God. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. And that whole word separation just means, that whole death means a separation from God. God knew all this was going to happen before he even created the universe. And so before he even created the universe, the Bible said he had already determined his son would come to be our rescuer. And Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. And he died on the cross, not because of anything he had done, but because of our sin. Our sin nailed him to the cross. But he paid the price for our sin, and he died, and 3 days later rose again from the grave and offers us the gift of eternal life. And he says, if by faith you would accept me as your Savior and turn your heart to me, let me be the Lord, the boss of your life. If you would commit yourself to me, I will forgive you. I will change you. I will change the outcome of your life. I will bring you into God's family. I will make a place for you forever in heaven. In other words, he is saying, I will rescue you forever from this existence of pain. I will rescue you, and I'll make a place for you in heaven. But he doesn't just say, I will rescue you in the sweet by and by. He also said, I'll rescue you in the here and now. And what does that mean? In the book of Acts, there was the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 23, and Paul had gone back to Jerusalem in the story, and he had been arrested by the religious leaders, and he had been taken before the Roman courts, and they were trying to figure out what to do with him. But those religious leaders were trying to get him now released so they could kill him. And Paul came to understand the plot. And Paul was sure, tomorrow I die. But that night, Acts 23, verse 11, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. I have felt that. And you have felt that. Times in which the pain, the struggle was so great. You didn't know what to do. And there is God. And it's like he puts his hand on your shoulder. And he says to you, I'm here. You're not going through this alone. I'm with you. I have felt that. I have heard the words from him. Now do this, or don't do this. In which God was saying to me, you're not in this alone. I'm going to take you through this moment. And he has done the exact same thing for you. God provides a rescuer through our pain. God limits the time of pain and suffering. Ecclesiastes 3:17 says, in due season, God will judge everything mankind does, both good and bad. Romans 12:19 says, don't take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. What he's saying in both of those verses is, right now, the other one is winning. It feels like to you, but I'm telling you, I keep score. And there is a day in which this will end. And I'll deal with it. And I just want you to know. He says this in our hearts. There is an end to this time of pain and suffering. So what do you do? What do we do when we're on this side of the end, between now and then? What do we do? How do we deal with what we're facing? Well, just bullet points, because my time is getting away. First, accept that unfair things are going to happen. How could we not accept it? Instead of complaining to God, do you see this? Do you see how unfair this is? God says, yes, life is not fair. Accept that unfair things are going to happen. Second of all, control your reaction to them. That's hard. Anybody notice this? This is hard. To control our reactions. Third, choose to do the right thing even when you're wronged. This is even harder. Romans 12, verse 17 to 21 says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Don't you hate that verse? If my enemy is hungry or thirsty, good. Keep getting thirstier. But he says, no, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Give him something to drink. How can anybody live this way? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And here's the last one. Respond with patience and wait for God's intervention. This is even worse. It goes from hard to harder to hardest. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. This is Paul saying this. Well, Paul, you're not in my body. This is a lot harder than you're acting like. But I'm going to just tell you, go back and look what all Paul had gone through. He had been stoned to the point of death. They had killed him. He'd been stoned actually with rocks, with stones several times. He'd been shipwrecked several times. He had been beaten. He had been whipped with whips. He had been in prison numerous times for doing nothing wrong. No, I'm telling you, no matter how hard we have it, I think he beats us. But yet he's the guy that said, our present troubles are quite small and they won't last very long, yet they produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. You see, there's a reward on the other side. So we don't look at the troubles we see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. And what is he saying? He's saying this life is very short, but eternity is pretty long. So look to God, trust God, and keep your eyes on the promises of God. Because God will take you through. These are the things he's saying. Now I'm going to tell you, to do this, you got to have a power that's beyond yours. Last week, I read a little bit of that song, When Answers Aren't Enough, There's Jesus. When answers aren't enough, there's Jesus. He's more than just an answer to your prayer, and your heart will find safe and peaceful refuge. When answers aren't enough, he is there. About this is the last verse in that song. Instead of asking, why did it happen? Think of where it can lead you from here. As your pain is slowly easing, you can find a greater reason to live your life triumphant through the tears. If answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. This life takes a power beyond anything you and I have. And that's why we need God in our life. And right now, this morning, you can ask God to forgive you of your sin, and you can turn your heart to Jesus Christ. I make you, Jesus, the boss of my life. I give my heart to you. I believe that you rose again from the grave, and I want you to come and live inside my heart. And this morning, he will forgive you and cleanse you and come inside your life and begin to change the outcome of your life. He'll begin to transform your life. He will give you a power that is beyond you. It is the power of the Holy Spirit who can begin to change you from the inside out. And it takes that power, to do what He is telling us to do, but we can live this way. And it is part of the reason of pain to grow us up, to be this kind of person. He's getting us ready for heaven. Let's pray. Father, we come to You today and we recognize, oh God, we cannot live this life on our own. Oh God, we need You. And we ask that You would help us and forgive us and come into our heart and save us. We commit our life by faith to Jesus Christ. And we ask for Your Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us and change us from the inside out. Father, I pray for many who are here that have never received Christ, those who are online that have never received Christ, I pray that this is the day of salvation for them, that they would this day make that decision for Christ. And for all who have already given our hearts to Christ, but we needed the reminder and we need the recommitment of our life to You. And we need to let You be Lord. Oh God, move in our hearts to take these truths, because all of us lack so much. We're growing. We're not there yet. You're not finished with us yet. And we ask, Father, You'd keep working in our life to make us who You want us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.